Welcome to Stoma and Continence Conversations from Coloplast Professional. I'm Paul, Ostomy Care Education Manager here at Coloplast. As a specialist nurse, I know that stoma and bowel and bladder issues impact the lives of those that you care for. This podcast is here to support your educational needs and help you in supporting your patients. You'll hear from fellow healthcare professionals and experts by experience and discuss the latest hot topics in the world of stoma, continence care and specialist practice. This time,
I didn't even know that could be removed. Oh, will my bag stick in the heat? And will my bag blow up in the aeroplane? It was just what I needed. I could have had this operation in my 30s and got my life back. Instead, I was in my 50s. The handy hint is don't wear the cushion round your neck. Get a stoma and get a life.
This time I am joined by Kathleen Grasick. She's an established ostomate and one of the Coloplast ambassadors. And as always, I'm also joined by my friend and colleague in Coloplast Professional, Hannah Patterson. Hi, Hannah. How are you?
Hi, Paul. Hi, Kathleen.
Kathleen, would you like to introduce yourself?
Well, I live in Fochabers in the northeast of Scotland.
I'm glad you pronounced that and I didn't.
Sometimes there's a wee bit of problem with that name, but I've had a stoma since 2011, Valentine's Day, a day I'll never forget. So that's coming up 12 years. So I was 53 when I got my stoma after having years and years suffering with Crohn's disease.
One of the things I like to ask people, you know, people with a stoma is how you found your journey up to when you had your stoma formed, you know, because we talk a lot about the communication styles and the wordings that people use and that thing of stoma and stoma formation is worst case scenario. You know, and it's that sort of thing. So how did you find the communication which you received during that pre-op and that build-up to your stoma, having your stoma formed?
I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease when I was 29. I'd always been a bit good at running to the toilet, but I actually got diagnosed with Crohn's when I was 29, and I was delighted to have a diagnosis. Unfortunately, I didn't realise what a diagnosis of Crohn's disease meant. I just thought now they knew what was wrong, they could make me better. So I spent the next 24 years running back and forth the toilet. Wee periods of remission where I was okay-ish, but, you know, still, toilet was my best friend. I knew where all the toilets were. So my whole life was basically, where's the toilet? And so tired. So just so tired. Getting a stoma was never mentioned to me. Never mentioned. I spent so long in hospital. I was at one point, I was off sick from my work for 9 years. Which is incredible when I think about it. And still, getting a stoma wasn't a mention. So they pumped me full of all the drugs, which, you know, you read the side effects, and then I decided to stop because I felt like I was dying anyway. So to take any drugs didn't really matter. And then I got the biological drugs, which is the drip, and that didn't work. And then I got the injections into my tummy or my leg, and that didn't work. So you really feel you're crawling about and no life at all, because where's the toilet? And I can't really eat and I'm so thin and cold and tired. And then one day I had an appointment with the consultant who said, well, this isn't working. I think we need to get an operation. And that was the first I'd heard of it, and I was petrified. So I had an appointment with the colorectal surgeon, and terrified doesn't cover it because I didn't know anybody with a stoma. I didn't really know what it meant, and body image and pain and, oh, really, really terrified. I would have benefited from some counselling, I think, but, you know, that wasn't all on offer. And like 12 years ago, social media wasn't really a thing. So I felt really alone and terrified. And Stoma nurses just kind of took it as, yes, well, because I had an appointment first and I got marked for the stoma, but it was all just so terrifying. I wish that somehow I could change people's perception of that, because I got my surgery. I got keyhole surgery, actually, but they also removed my rectum and my anus, which I didn't know. I didn't even know that could be removed until mine was. So I feel I really went in blind. I have to say the recovery was, I think because I was so ill, my recovery felt really slow to me. However, having had my stoma for 12 years, it's the best thing that could have happened to me. And I wish that surgeons would stop seeing it as a last gasp attempt, because I could have had this operation in my 30s and got my life back. Instead, I was in my 50s and I got my life back, but I could have had it back so much sooner. I've always lived life as much as I can, but I was restricted with the toilet. And now it doesn't really matter where the toilets are. I give myself a quick feel and say, no, I'll be okay. So pre-stoma was a very painful, exhausting experience. Post-stoma, I've got a life.
That is an amazingly powerful story. And I think we can safely say that for you, the stoma, having the stoma formed, was almost life-affirming. It gave you your life back. It wasn't this negative event in your life that happened. I'll bring in my friend and colleague Hannah in at this point as well, because as we all know, Hannah was an ostomate. She's now got an internal pouch, and I'm sure that she's going to be able to share some of those experiences with the being toilet aware, as they say. So Hannah, does your, you know, have you got any kind of mirroring with Kathleen there?
Oh, God. I mean, the bit that really stuck out for me was what you said about the toilet, and you go from living your life where the nearest toilet is to all of a sudden you've got that control back. It was, I never thought not needing to know where a toilet was would be so empowering. And it's something that so many people take for granted, that you don't need to know where a toilet is. I mean, you were probably the same as me, Kathleen. If you were going on any sort of journey, you'd have to map out where your service stations might be, or if you were going cross country, if there was a pub en route that you could go to the toilet, anything like that. You were having to plan everything to the most minutest of details just for the sake of being able to get to a toilet.
Somebody who hasn't lived that experience is never going to really, really understand. And talking about those things of not understanding people who haven't had these lived experiences, we talk a lot about my firsts. And when, you know, at the time of recording, it's about a month before Christmas now. So Kathleen, can you remember some of those first life events that you had with the stoma? So we're talking first Christmas, first birthday, potentially stomaversary, that period where you actually, that time where you did have your stoma formed. Have you got any kind of pivotal moments with your my firsts?
I tended to stay close to home pre-stoma for obvious reasons. So I had my surgery and I'm struggling to recover. My brother at that time lived in Doha in Qatar. He was going to be 50 the following year. And I said, right, this is my goal. I'm coming to Doha in 2012 to celebrate your 50th birthday with you. And I went on my own on a plane to Doha. It was so amazing and scary because I did it on my own. But I would have struggled to, well, I couldn't go on a plane before because you can't guarantee the queue to the toilet. And nobody's going to accept me pushing to the front because I really need the toilet. So I went on that plane to Doha on my own to a hot country, you know, and I did think, oh, will my bag stick in the heat? It did. And will my bag blow up in the aeroplane? It didn't. It was just what I needed to boost my recovery. The plane seats are maybe a wee bit uncomfortable, having had rectal surgery, but you don't put the thing, you know, the cushion for your neck, you sit on it. My neck was fine, but my bum was a wee bit, you know. So it's always the way around everything. And I had a fantastic time in Qatar.
And it's a way, that thing of, you never were, as you said, you never would have done that without your stoma. Your stoma gave you the freedom to live that life. And it's, you know, I'm thinking about it now, and I think of all the things that I did, you know, in my 30s and, you know, starting to in my 40s now. And they're pivotal parts of your life, aren't they? You know, those years, you know, we talk a lot about formative years, but 30s to 40s is when, you know, you're supposed to just kind of be getting on with life, isn't it? You kind of got your place and that sort of thing. So I'm sure for you, it must have been quite a concerning and upsetting period during that time.
Absolutely. I've got two sons and I feel I wasn't a fit physically to be their mother because there was things that I wanted to do and, you know, go to football matches. But all the time you think, well, I better not eat before I go because there's no toilets at the side of the football pitch. And just so many things because I was so tired. You know, you want to be out and maybe going up hills or just living life. And I was restricted to the nearest toilet.
I'm sure that there were periods where you were fearful, you know, as you said, you know, going to see your son's football matches, you know, you had that almost that fear of where's the nearest loo, what condition are they going to be in and all those sorts of things. But we also talk a lot about the fear or the worry or the burden of leakage with a stoma. So if you can kind of compare how you... the fear and the worry you had pre-stoma to the fear and leakage. So where do you, of life with a stoma. So how are you at the moment with that worry and that fear of leakage?
I have to say I'm very lucky. You know, it's almost like tempting fate, but I tend not to think about leakage. Most days I forget I've got a stoma, you know. My experience of a leakage is you haven't just got a leakage, you get the warning, you know, the itch in the skin. And you've generally, you've still got longer with that itch in the skin than pre-stoma, what I had when I needed the toilet. It's like listening to your body and you feel a wee bit and you think, right, I need to go to the toilet. But I can still wait a wee while. And you just have to carry spares with you, you know. Never leave home without your bag with your spares. So it's all about building confidence and taking away any fears. And these, you know, I'm maybe getting too technical, but flange extenders, if you've got a leakage and you really can't do anything about it, I've got a flange extender, so I just go to the loo and stick it on, and that gives me a wee bit extra time to get myself sorted to where maybe it's more convenient to change my bag. Because it's an ileostomy I've got, so, I mean, it does just keep going. So if I have a leak, it's going to keep going. It's not going to say, oh, sorry, we've had a wee leak. I'll just stop just now till you get yourself sorted. But it's still, I find it still so much more manageable than, oh, I need a toilet.
Kathleen, just think about going pre-post-stoma. You were so young when you started having your issues. I think about it, I was a similar age to yourself, so... I was sort of mid, late 20s when I was first having issues where I was at ulcerative colitis. And for me, it really stopped me going out, living that normal 20-year-old person's lifestyle. For when I got my stoma, that was when I was able to go out, start doing the things I loved again. And I've spoken before on podcasts, I was a keen horse rider. I was able to go back horse riding, swimming, walking, running. Was there anything sort of activity-wise that you not even necessarily got back to, but found yourself gravitating towards because you had that lifestyle back again?
I think it was just going out and be able to go with friends, out for a meal, because I didn't like to go out and eat because you didn't get your meal pre-stoma, you don't get your meal finished. You know, you start eating and then you've got to run to the toilet. And people don't go to the toilet in the middle of their main course. You know, you wait till you've finished eating and then, but no way. And then being ill for the rest of the day and maybe another couple of days till you got rid of the nice food that you'd had to eat. So I walk my dogs. I've got two dogs. So I can now feel I can go as far as I want to go and walk my dogs. Not just round the block because I'll need the toilet before I get back. So it's just living your life with freedom without thinking about your bowel, you know, or just this is what I'm going to do today. 2018, I was invited to go to China for a family wedding. And I thought, China. It was snowing and I was snowed off my work and I thought, I'm going to China now. It was actually my brother who's married to a Chinese lassie and her son was getting married and he put an invite for the whole family and I thought, everybody's China. So I said, I'm coming to China. And he said, do you want to think about that? I said, okay, I'll phone again tomorrow. So I phoned the next day and I said, I'm coming to China. And I went to China and I didn't go to the touristy part of China. Well, I had a few days in Beijing. And then I went on an 18-hour train journey to Mudanjiang in China. And I lived with just how Chinese people live. And it was, you know, the toilets are very different to toilets that we have here. I must say, being my age, the hardest thing with the squatting toilet is standing up after. It's okay if there's handrails to help you up. But I strengthen my thigh muscles. Because you have to go right down because I don't know how you want to know about splashback and what have you. You need to go right down so you can get back. It was the getting back up. You almost needed somebody to come with and say, could you give my hand up once I'm finished? So I think get a stoma and get a life.
I just want to say, Kathleen, I'm going to re-nickname you Kathleen the Jet Setter at this point in time. Hearing about all these trips, it's amazing, absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it is. I've also been to, my son lives in Bangkok, so I've gone to Bangkok on my own as well, just because I can. Eating the different food and the different temperatures and humidities, absolutely no stoma problems. At all, none, other than getting up from a squat toilet. I mean, maybe anybody'd have that problem, I don't know.
You wouldn't have even dreamed of heading there before stoma, would you? Before stoma, not a chance you would have even thought.
No.
I'm flabbergasted, if you know what I mean. As I say, you know, you went from this person who's, what about, was missed out on, who's, you know, said, you know, you felt you missed out on a lot of stuff, to being able to, you know, as I said, jet setting off around the world and all those sorts of things. One of the things I almost want to ask you about, though, is traveling to all of these different places. And you mentioned food. I'm sure for a lot of ostomates out there, you know, you go online and it says you can't eat this, you can't eat that, you can't drink this, you can't drink that, you can't do this, you can't do the other. And by the time, if you've got all of that information, basically you're allowed to drink water and eat dust. That's pretty much all, you know, if you could take everything into account. How have you found diet? How have you, you know, is there anything that, you know, you go, do you know what? I just can't eat that. That's a no-no for me. Or do you know what? I can take it. I can leave it. How's diet for you?
Well, do you know, the saddest thing was before my stoma operation or just after, I can't remember, I was told that I could no longer drink fizzy drinks. And I was devastated. I love a Diet Coke. And I just thought, well, that's that then. I'll never get a Coke again. So somebody said, oh, yes, you can. So I tried it. I can drink anything. I thought I wouldn't be able to get any alcohol. That's not true either. Food, I just eat everything in moderation. There's things like mushrooms. So I like mushrooms. So I wouldn't eat a whole one, but I would chop it up, and then you just have chopped up mushroom, which is fine. Or, well, obviously, sweet corn and peas, we know how they go through your system. You know, they make their presence known at the other end, but everything comes through fine. I wonder if it's having fluids when you're eating helps. I don't know. I kind of just go by instinct.
This has probably been one of the funnest podcasts I've recorded, Kathleen, and one of the most and also one of the most empowering as well. It's just your outlook and your personality just shines through, and I'm sure every listener is, you know, we would agree with me that you're such a positive advocate of, you know, having a stoma isn't the end of the world, isn't the end of someone's life. For you, and hope you don't mind me saying it, it seemed like it was the start of your life from the age of 29. It was, but then when you had your stoma in your 50s, it was your life started all over again.
It was over 20 years of being tied down almost. I'm flying free now.
That's talk about flying. You've got to, it must be a while since you've been away. So have you got another holiday coming up?
I'll be going to Bangkok next year and I can't wait.
If you need a stoma nurse to come with you, please just let me know and I can tag along. I really, really don't mind. I'm sure you can fit me in your bag. It's fine.
The only thing I will say is, yes, I'm hopefully going to Bangkok next year, but how I do it for myself is I can do it as a 14-hour flight or I can do 2 7-hours. For me, 2 7-hours works better just because the aeroplane seats are now the most comfortable. But the handy hint is don't wear the cushion around your neck.
I think what I would like to do is just extend a massive, massive thank you from myself and all the listeners, just to say thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute privilege. As I say, I haven't giggled this much on a Monday morning when this is being recorded for a long, long time. So thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for sharing your story, sharing your experiences and sharing your positivity.
What a great pleasure it's been to talk to you again. Always a pleasure. And thank you for spending time with us.
Stoma and Continence Conversations is brought to you by Coloplast Professional. To learn more, visit coloplastprofessional.co.uk.